Sing a song often, the phrase, part of one of the verses, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count by loss and pour contempt on all my pride. When we sing that song, I hope that we think about what we're saying there, the import and the magnitude of what we're saying, of the fact that when we look on the cross which Christ died on, that we do realize there is a lot to wonder about there. It may cause a puzzle, it may wonder that way, but it is wondrous, it is awe-inspiring, it is magnificent, it is something that we should be grateful for, because as we sing in that song, Prince of Glory died there for us, and anything that we could do, anything that we could boast of in our life pales in comparison to what Christ did for us in dying on that cross. When we think about the cross and understand that it is something that is of significance, really, all of humanity hangs on that cross when Christ hangs on the cross for us. Because without him hanging on the cross, then we have no hope. We have no future with God if we are to serve God as we should. Because in that cross, we see the Son of God hanging on the cross for our sins. When we think about the cross and we survey the wondrous cross, we should think of a few things. We should think about Christ and what he was doing for us. He gave his life voluntarily for us. If you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 20, but Peter is writing to servants to be submissive to their masters and to deal with the things that they have to endure serving their master, and that they need to do it cheerfully and to look to Christ as an example. And beginning in verse 20 of 1 Peter chapter 2, for what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Christ went to the cross willingly. He committed himself to God, to the Father, to do this for us. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we could die to sins because he died for our sins. He did this because he loved us. He did this for us, Romans chapter 5. We can see that we did nothing deserving of it. He did it because he loved us, even though we were pitiful men, sinners, separated from God. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Christ reconciled us to God through him by hanging on that cross, dying for us. And we can have that. And we had done nothing, again, to deserve it. God loved us. Christ loved us and died for us. The cross was necessary. He had to die for us. We had separated ourselves from God through sin. Each and every one of us are guilty of our own sins, which separates us from God. But Christ has died for all that we can be reconciled to God. Our sin, as we read, necessitated that Christ die for us, that his blood be shed for us. And it was through the death on the cross that this was made possible. This was God's plan all along. We could go through the many prophecies of the Old Testament that looked toward Christ, who would redeem us. We could see that he was going to suffer, as we have often looked in Isaiah chapter 53. But he did fulfill the prophecies. He did die on the cross, hanging on the tree for our sins. And we know that this cross, that we can look to it, and to see in it that not only did he die for our sins, but that he declared that he was the Son of God by doing this. And by declaring that he is the Son of God, we were able to then begin to be able to draw near to him and to see all that he did. Because he died, he was buried, and he rose again. The cross is actually something that we are drawn to, just as Jesus said it would be. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Jesus speaks of his death, beginning in verse 28, we will see. Jesus says, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. And of course, he was lifted up from the earth, hung on the cross. And because he was hung on the cross and he died for us, we can be drawn to the cross, drawn to that blood which was shed for us. Because as Dale spoke of, Romans chapter 6, it is that death of Christ that we can come in contact with God because we die to sins and we raise again in Christ. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So certainly, we see the importance of the cross, the wonder of the cross. God's plan unfolded and came about as he planned for us through Christ's death on the cross. And part of his plan is to remember that great sacrifice on the cross of Christ on the cross each Lord's Day. We're going to take this moment here in a moment to remember that sacrifice, to partake of the emblems, the bread, the unleavened bread symbolizing his body, the fruit of the vine, his blood. That blood which was shed for us that allowed us to be freed from our sins, allowed us to be reconciled to God. If you would, take a moment to prepare your elements. We will sing a song, and then we'll be directed in our minds, and prayer as we partake of the elements.